What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. This podcast is available at allthingscomedy.com, iTunes, and SoundCloud, and it's a part of the Punch Drunk Sports Network, also where another bunch of great comics have podcasts about sports. Our sponsor is On The Volley Apparel, and you can go to On The Volley, On The Volley Apparel, and they have tees, tanks, hoodies, jerseys, and hats in men's and also in women's. They have tanks, hoodies, sweatshirts, owl hoodies with the half, like kind of like a turtleneck style hoodie. They have them in burgundy, black, and some great designs, and they can outfit your male or female, like a local team. If you have a local team and you're looking for a place to outfit you guys and make you look different and better than everybody else, they got the hookup on that. And this is a community based, they have, On The Volley Powerhouse, a community based approach, and football is their passion. And if you check out their About Us, you'll read that it is our goal to spread the knowledge and culture of football soccer to everyone willing to listen. We feel that there are an endless amount of elements that compose this beautiful game, and they should all be recognized, from the Sunday full field leagues to the weekday indoor leagues. We are all part of football culture. It's not about how good your league is or how many people come to watch you play, but about how much you love the game. It's about the bond created when your team and the entire football community play anywhere, play often, and play with passion. Isn't that goddamn beautiful? You know, doesn't that feel like it comes from the heart? So go to On The Volley Apparel, check out their stuff, use my promo code Comic Rant, and you get 20% off. And yeah, I like them. I have some of their stuff and I give it to people. So go to onthevolleyapparel.com. Right now, things have been, I'll tell you where I'm at. I'm writing on a TV show on Netflix called Friends From College. So I'm in town in LA and I'm doing local spots at the Comedy Store. And so I have to go to work during the day and do spots at the store, the Improv and the Laugh Factory, and just wherever. So that's my life right now. I wasn't able to get a guest this week, so I'm going to do this solo, but it's going to be fun and maybe quicker than other podcasts. But there's a lot of things to talk about. And let's deal with transfers first. And Man United has finally locked down Alexis Sanchez. So he's our dude. He's our player. And we sent Henrik Mkhitaryan the other way. I'm going to be sad to see him go because I think we never fully realized the potential of Henrik Mkhitaryan. You know, Mourinho does weird stuff with players sometimes, more than anybody else, any other coach I know. Like last year, he worked Mkhitaryan in very slowly and he started to shine, and he didn't always use him in the Premiership, use him in the Europa League. And he scored in the Europa League final and helped us get into Champions League by winning the Europa League final. And I just think, you know, he has a lot of potential to be a really good player. He did just turn 29. But I don't know. For some reason, it wasn't working. And so I'm going to be sad to see him go. But we get Alexis Sanchez. And, you know, we know what he can do. There's just no question. And if the problem with Mkhitaryan, with Mourinho, was like work ethic as far as going back and defending, I don't think you ever have to, there'll ever be that question with Sanchez. He's the James Brown of the Premiership. He's just working back and forth all day, just going for it. The hardest working Chilean in football. So, yeah. So, hopefully this will work out. And I guess I should try to find out, you know, how this deal, if one deal had to, something to do with the other, which it probably did because it's a swap, what the details of the deal are. So I'll try to look that up later. But yeah, we got Sanchez, they got Mkhitaryan. So let shit go on. And then there's other transfer rumors up, like Aaron Lennon might go to Burnley. And Las Diarra in the French league might go to Paris Saint-Germain, holding midfielder. He used to play for Chelsea. He used to play for Real Madrid. I think he did play for Bayern, I think. But I always liked Las Diarra. Very good player, man. Good player. Solid. That's what I'd call him. Solid. And Chris Martin might go from Derby County to Sunderland. Kelvin Mellor might go from Blackpool to Bradford City. And Patrick Aubameyang might come from Borussia Dortmund and go to Arsenal. That would make, but if Arsenal gets Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan, which they do have Mkhitaryan, if they get Aubameyang, then this is a good transfer window for them. There's no question. Like, they've definitely upgraded. And then, but then they're going to have, they've gotten rid of Walcott. So they cleared out him. And they still have Giroud, but I think he's still injured. And they have Lacazette. And Aubameyang is straight up scorer. From what I've seen, he's a straight up striker. Very effective. Plays in the German league. He makes it happen. So I think he'll do good in England. And this is first time he's probably directly addressed the scoring problem, you know, if he gets him. But we'll see. We see Chelsea should try to swoop in on that. I'm surprised people haven't tried to get Aubameyang before. I don't understand. Like, when I see highlights of him playing, he looks legit. So it's weird that last year, or in the beginning of the season, people got Dembele, people got Mbappe, but nobody looked at Aubameyang. Or if they did, they didn't pull the trigger. I don't understand. That's weird for that guy to be like, just for people not to have taken action on him sooner. Like, that's a scorer right there. I think he's legit. So don't get it. But yeah, Balotelli might move too. And where is he going? Where is Balotelli going? He could go to Juve. So there's some things going on out there. What else? Who's trying to go where? Rafa Benitez is trying to get Kennedy from Chelsea. So, all right. So Rafa Benitez is trying to make some moves to keep Newcastle in the Premiership. And Crystal Palace welcome Erdal Rakip. The Swede arrives on loan from Benfica, the club that signed him in January from Malmo. Roma have checked on Gerard Dello Fuego to cover the possible transfer of Dzeko. Dello Fuego is a very good player. He's playing for Barcelona right now. That's a player. He's young and he's fucking lethal. Shit. We should have jumped on that. And he's a right side player. We should have definitely jumped on him. So this is what's going on. Roma have checked on Gerard Delafoya to cover the possible transfer of Dzeko. And so Dzeko is heading to Chelsea. Okay. But I've never seen Dzeko play. I don't know what position they want him. So if they want him to cut to, if they want Delafoya plays down the right for Barca, like a right midfielder attacking. So if he's going to go to Roma, I'm assuming he's replacing, it's a straight replacement for Dzeko. So, but is Dzeko, I haven't seen Dzeko play, but is he as good? Is Roma coming up on this deal? Because I know Delafoya is he's a monster. He's a young, lean, straight monster. He's a monster in the making, man. Very effective dude. So, yeah. And Manchester City will bid for they're going to bid for a player from Lille who has been nicknamed the new Yaya Toure. So it's Babacar Sommer, a player from Lille. Sorry for butchering your name, but dog. But I got to hear the commentator say that first before I can just repeat it and act like I know what that means. But yeah, man. So that's what's going on in fucking football. Transfer wise. Now let's get to the Premiership. And we have some games this weekend. And let's run through the games. Brighton versus Chelsea. And Chelsea just handled this game. They just handled this pretty much immediately. They did not fuck around. And they said, Brighton, we are trying to catch Real Madrid. We're trying to catch We're trying to catch Manchester United. I think the transfer window got me all mixed up. So we don't got time to fuck around. So we are scoring 4 goals as soon as fucking possible. And they just jumped on them. 2 goals right away early on in the game. Willian was a part of a beautiful build-up that led to his goal, which was the second goal. Keeper did not stand a fucking chance. And Brighton Hove, they play good ball. And they know how to defend because they have to defend most of their existence in the Premier League. But the way Chelsea built that second goal was impossible to stop. That's how it was. Pure class on Chelsea's second goal. Second half, Brighton Hove came back. They have a right back who looks like a Neanderthal. That he's French and he played really good. And he put some crosses in. He got fouled in the box at one time. Could have been a penalty, but he looks like a half man, half animal. And long ass hair, caveman hair, and just French. Just looks like he doesn't he only showers when it rains during the game. That's what it looks like. And he was out there causing torment, but not enough. Not enough. Like Chelsea just came out and straight up handled their business. And Hazard is an instrument of torture if you're the other team. That's what Hazard is. Like if you're the other team, it's as if They grabbed you, threw you in a chair with Hazard on the back, and then started winding the back of the chair up, and it's asking you, what are your team's secrets? How do you plan to defend and stop us? And you start telling them and giving them everything. Moses scored. He hadn't scored in a minute. Good goal. Quality goal. Nice touch. Moses is doing things, man. And yeah, Chelsea 4, Brighton. Nathan. Let's go to another game. Bournemouth versus West Ham. That's an apt score for these two teams. They both need points. And I think Arnautović has been coming on in the recent weeks. He's been doing his thing. And he's been getting involved and he's been more consistent. And but Bournemouth is always going to give you a run for your money. They're always going to attack and they're always going to try to get their goals. And they can score against a team like West Ham for sure. They can score against a team like West Ham for sure, which they did. And like I said, I always say this, I would always watch a Bournemouth game if I'm not doing anything, for sure, because Bournemouth is going to attack. They're going to leave themselves open to be attacked. So Bournemouth games are not boring, you know? If you're going to watch a team that's not at the top of the table, watch a Bournemouth game. Even a few weeks ago, or was it last week, the Bournemouth-Arsenal game? Fucking fantastic. Was moi. Took points off Arsenal. And there goes Arnautović again, just using his height, his strength. Lost the ball, did not score, didn't get a shot off, but at least being a threat. Great tackle by Bournemouth defenders to stop him on that one. I'm just checking out some of the highlights as I, you know. And West Ham are definitely playing better. They're definitely playing better. Bournemouth scored first. Frazier, the little guy. Speed, midget. Just doing his thing, man. Very effective player for Bournemouth. Plays in the spirit of Bournemouth. Always hustling, always running, always using the speed. Going down the sidelines, going through people, around people. Bang, in the goal. But then Bournemouth, always leaving himself open, come back and Chicharito puts the ball in the net. And like West Ham has scorers. They got Carroll, Arnautović, Chicharito. Like, they got more scorers than teams that are way ahead of them in the table. So they have a chance to really get back in this thing with like the group of where they are in the table. Like, everybody's bunched up. They could win two games and jump up high in the table. So yeah. Burnley versus Man United. And this was a Burnley Manu. This is how Burnley plays. Like, Man United had possession, but it just couldn't break them down. And then, but I wasn't frustrated because this is what Burnley does. They don't leave a lot of space in between their players when you're in the final third of the field for you to do what you want to do. They make it as difficult as possible. So when you have your moment of quality, then you have to take it. And Lukaku had a lot of terrible touches in this game. He had a lot of terrible touches. Like, when he got the ball and he was alone with a defender up top, he gave it away a lot. But he created, it was an amazing assist for the goal to Martial. Like, he fought off like two, three attacks from defenders and midfielders and slotted the ball over to Marshall. And Marshall put it in the top near post corner and got that goal. And that was the only goal of the game. And then it became a Burnley game the rest of the game. Like, we tried to score, but they wouldn't let us. And then there's always a moment when Burnley can steal a point from you, you know, and they just playing their Burnley game and wearing on you and just waiting for you to have a lapse, you know. Burnley's like, you know, they buy you a drink in the club and you're like, thanks for the drink, but, you know, I have a boyfriend. And they'll always like call and check and see how you're doing and seeing if you're having a bad time with your boyfriend so that they could just slip in there and maybe get to first base or third, you know, or slide home. Like, Burnley will always just do enough. So when you're feeling weak, to take advantage of you, like, they do not give up. They're hound dogs, and they created some chances in this game, and it was nerve-wracking to watch. You know, I had to watch this game with a fidget to do something with my hands. This fucking Burnley's a pain in the ass. So and I had a problem with the ref in this game. Like, he gave Burnley Fergie time. At the end of the game, he gave them 5 minutes extra time. I was like, why are they treating Burnley like they're Fergie? And then after the 5 minutes had expired, he kept them going. He gave them a corner, like, after the 5 minutes extra. Like, what the fuck? I don't even remember why there would be 5 minutes extra time in this game. I don't know at what point in the second half warranted that. I don't remember, like, an injury or something. So, if I'm blanking, somebody remind me, but I don't remember. But the confusion with us getting Sanchez now is, where do we put him? Because Marshall is scoring. When he plays for Arsenal, Sanchez plays on where Marshall is playing. I've seen Rashford came in the game and played good on the right. Are we going to give Rashford the right? Can Sanchez play right? I don't know. We don't have Mkhitaryan anymore, who, you know, Mata's fine. He's been over there. I'm not mad at him. You know, he works hard. He played hard in this game. His passing was off, but, you know, so I don't know. I just know we have a hardworking new player that is creative, attacking-wise, and I hope he fits in, because I hope it's not a thing where he doesn't fit in with Mourinho. I'd hate that. But Mourinho's doing exactly what I thought he would do. He's building us a better team. He's building us a better team. And so whether he stays or not, when he's gone, we will be better. So that's one of the things Mourinho does. He wins your stuff, he builds you a better team, and then he leaves. So, fine. We'll take it. Everton versus West Brom. Everton 1, West Brom 1. And who do I think should have won this game? I think Everton has more. You know, they have more. But first of all, they gave up a goal right away. And West Brom, when Pulis was there, West Brom scores first. A team like Everton, it's going to be hard to breach them, you know? So I don't know if they're as defensive now as they were under Pulis. But I know they were in a perfect position for an ex-Pulis team. But Everton, you know, did what they should have been doing, and they got a goal out this pitch. And they're playing a lot of their younger players too, which is good. Because Everton, like, I think it was last week, they got shelled. Like, they just laid down on the field and got beaten. And it's like, hey, you got to show up to these games, Everton. And then there was a horrific injury in this game. terrible injury. So, yeah. So, Everton played. Players got involved. And finally, got their equalizer. Niasse. And Everton have Walcott now, too. So, and speaking of transfer, they have Walcott. So, I hope, like, Walcott could be a quality player. So, I hope the transfer lights a fire under him. You know? I hope Walcott lives up to his potential. That's what I hope. Because he wasn't at Arsenal. And is Everton the right move to do this? I'm not 1,000% sure. But let's see. So West Brom won. Everton won. Leicester Watford. And yeah. Leicester's a better team than Watford, so they should beat Watford, and that's what happened. They beat Watford 2-0. And yeah, man, the usual suspects. The usual suspects. Everton have such, I mean, Leicester has such a lethal attack, man. These guys are still, they still show flashes on a game-to-game basis of the champion team, Everton. You know, they don't have Conte anymore, but, and that's a major thing that they're missing. But, man, they can break on you. You know, they're like that pimple that shows up. They're like zits. They'll break on you like zits. You go to bed one night as a teenager, your face clear, you wake up in the morning, you've broken the fuck out and zits are all over your face. That fast. That's fucking Leicester. It's like they have some essential speedsters who don't slow down. And Vardy used his speed to get a penalty and took the penalty, put it away, put Everton up one, sent the goalkeeper the wrong way. And I think on the low, Vardy's having a good season. On the low, Mahrez is having a better season than he's probably getting credit for. He's not scoring all the time, but he's involved in setting shit up. And Maguire did some surprising things in this game, like taking a ball from out back and dribbling it up. Who does he think he is, Franz Beckenbauer? I didn't know he had that in him. But yeah, Everton gets some points that they need. And they win this game. And they still have Schmeichel, so Schmeichel can still make some good saves. Like, I mean, Leicester. Yeah. Leicester's a great team to watch. They're a good team to watch. They have flashes of the spirit that gave them the Premiership title. And speaking of scoring, Mahrez scored for them. So, Mahrez gets one, Vardy gets one, and that never gets old. I don't know, a lot of people want Mahrez. I don't know if he's going to leave in the transfer window. If Leicester's smart, they'll keep him because they're going to need him. They don't want to drop down in the table. So let's see what they do. And if he's unhappy and wants to leave, he doesn't show it on the field. So that's a good thing. He's balling. He's been balling all year and he's always been rumored to leave and he stays balling. So it's fine. Stoke Huddersfield. Huddersfield's been taking some L's lately and not getting points. Like, they usually get something from a game, but they didn't against Stoke. And Stoke is one of the teams they can get points from, you know? They can get figure out a way to get all the points or at least one. So I don't know if they're tired. You know, and Stoke recently got like a new coach, so maybe he motivated them. And he's using players Hughes didn't use, and they're trying to prove they should have been used. Could be that. But Stoke got some badly needed points. Because I think they lost to us, Man U, last week. I think Stoke did, if I'm not mistaken. So many games, it's tough to remember. But I think Stoke, yeah, we beat Stoke last week, I think. And then I think that's what happened. And this is the coach's first game in charge. We beat Stoke last week. The new coach was there. And now in his first game in charge, they win 2-0 against Huddersfield. And it's a quality. Beating Huddersfield is a quality win because they can beat you. I think they beat Man U this year. I think they beat us. So, yeah. And coach played Chipamote, and he looked motivated, and that's a nice touch from Shaqiri. Yeah, Stoke's second goal was as good as the class goal that Chelsea scored. So, is this going to be their style of play? Is this what they're about now under this new guy? Chipamote, back heel from Shaqiri to Diouf, boom, goal. Off one post, into the back of the net. Not bad for your first day at work. Congrats, coach. So what game are we going to go to next? We got Arsenal, Crystal Palace. And so Arsenal is slowly but surely getting a facelift. They've gotten rid of Walcott early this year. They sold Oxlade-Chamberlain to Liverpool. Now Sanchez is gone. And so they go out here against Crystal Palace and immediately, boom, one goal. Monreal. It's almost as if they played as if they were angry at Sanchez the way they came out in this game. They should get rid of Sanchez every week. I think they had all four goals in the first half, if I can remember. And Crystal Palace has been playing good lately. Like if they lose, it's really close. They keep games close. They either win or at the end of the game, they'll tie it or win it. So to beat Crystal Palace, to just trounce them basically, just treat them as if they were nothing. Take them off like clothes when you come in at night and you've been out all day, you just discard them on the floor. That's basically what, they just took them off like drunk people's clothes. Defenders were scoring. Like a lot of set pieces. Yeah, I'm just re-remembering the goals right now. And they just ticky-tacked. Class goal. Lacazette scored. Hafiz scored. But again, here's the issue. So Arsenal has now Mkhitaryan. And if Arsenal's issue, it's not even if. Arsenal, to me, their problem is toughness. And if Mourinho wasn't playing Mkhitaryan because he wasn't tough enough, and now Arsenal has Mkhitaryan, and they got rid of one of their tougher players, they're still going to have a toughness problem. So Arsenal, to me, and even if they got Aubameyang, they could only play, they probably will only play one forward. And you got Jack Wilshere out there. They Arsenal just haven't addressed their toughness problem. They just haven't. Elneny's not the answer. Jack is not the answer. So, you won today or this weekend against Crystal Palace. You still got issues, bro. You got a guts issue. And Newcastle versus Man City. Man City lost their first game of the season last week to Liverpool. So we know they were going to rectify that shit. It's like Newcastle, like, God damn, we got to play these dudes after they just lost to Liverpool. And we need all the points we can get. And as soon as Sergio Aguero, like, heads the ball into the net. Like, I think Sergio Aguero has a pointy hairstyle, and I think the ball came off his longest hair and went into the side of the net. I think he sprays a lot of gel in the front of his hair, and his hair caked up with gel scored that goal. And then this penalty that was given to Sterling, I don't think that's a penalty. I think the referee, yeah, it's like, what is the defender? That's not a penalty. That could have been a no call as far as I'm concerned, but Sergio Aguero takes a penalty, boom, ball in the back of the net, and Man City go up 2-0 on Newcastle. Like, what is the defender supposed to do? Not just let him go around him? It's like, he put his body there and Sterling goes down. I don't think Sterling was diving per se, but eh. And then Newcastle get a goal back. But it's not enough. It's not enough, bro. And Benitez loses again. And Stones is back. He's made a lot of mistakes in the games that he's been back. So hopefully that's just a fitness issue with Stones, and not that he's fucking up. Or is he just, you know. So I think Pep is like letting him play himself back into shape. But Stones fucked up against Liverpool. He fucked up the game before that. And he fucked up in another game. And then Sané just fucking just turning and twisting in the penalty box of Newcastle. Just doing pirouettes. It's like he landed a double axel. Then it landed a tie in your heart in that goddamn penalty box and passed the ball to Sergio Aguero so he could score his third goal, a hat trick. Clean hat trick. Pirouette City. Look at him. Turn people's clothes inside out. Jesus. Embarrassing. Sané, man. The like, Sané is increasing in... but there's going to be a day or a season, and it'll probably be next season, when you're going to be like, Jesus Christ. He's good now, but he's going to get so much better that he's going to look like they just bought a new player. And I think the schedule for that to happen is next season. And God save us all when that happens. Southampton versus Tottenham. One of my favorite scorelines of the goddamn weekend, because we need everybody to drop points. And over the last few weeks, Arsenal's dropped some points. Chelsea's dropped some points. So, you know, we need people to drop points. And guess who hooked us up? Sanchez, trying to defend the cross from Southampton, tips the ball in the net. And that was it. And Spurs... I think Spurs only had 2 shots on goal all game, and they were in the first half. Like, I think I messed up. Yeah. But yeah, Harry Kane scored and equaled it up, made it 1-1. That was it. Like, they could not score again. Like, I don't know. I think Spurs don't got it. I think that's what I'm trying to say. They don't. They're off. Like, last year Spurs and the year before Spurs, would win these games. And now they're not. And so what is Spurs going to do? There's still plenty of games left, but they're off a little bit. I think Dele Alli's off. Like, Harry Kane is performing at pretty much maximum percentage. Dele Alli's off. Son had a bad game. They took him out. They got Lamella back. But God knows how much he's going to really be able to contribute because he hasn't played in a minute. And then, I forgot this part. Southampton puts in, I always confuse Stoke and Southampton because they both have stripes and they both teams start with S and they're usually in the same section of the table. But Southampton plays a kid, 17 years old. They're like, fuck it, why not? You know, why not? Play him. And you see this little young kid, he's like Pele height, and he's Pele built. And I think his name is Obafemi. And I'm like, all right, what's this little kid going to do? And he gets a shot. He could have won the game. Imagine that. 17 years old, playing your first Premiership game. It's against fucking Spurs. And he really had a chance to tap the ball in the net. I think he used the wrong foot. When I look at the footage, it feels like he used his wrong foot. And he put it wide. And he's like, fuck. But it was a legit attempt on goal that he blew. So, yeah. Those are the wrap-up of the Premiership games. No, there's one more. There is one more. And this is a score. So if I thought the Spurs result was great, this is even greater. The Swansea-Liverpool result was fan-fucking-tastic. Like, I had to go to work today, so I didn't see the game, you know? But I'm like, I'm going to come home and Liverpool's going to definitely have won this game and they're going to be closer to us. And just, I accepted that as my position in life when I came home. And then tonight I went to a Clipper game first, then came home and watched these highlights and unbelievable fucking Swansea scores in the 40th minute and hang the fuck on. Against a lethal Liverpool team. Like, Liverpool, if all the players in Liverpool close their eyes and pass the ball to each other, they could score. So how do they not beat Swansea? A team at the bottom of the fucking table is unbelievable. That's how unpredictable this league is. Like, this thing, Liverpool winning was as sure as Bitcoin was in December as something to buy. And Liverpool had 21 shots, but only 4 on target. So that is a problem. You got to get more of those 21 shots on target to score a goal. Swansea had 2 on target, and one of those went in. Possession wise, it's funny. Liverpool had the ball 72% of the time. Swansea 28, but for their 72% possession, Liverpool only got 4 shots on goal. And for Swansea's 28% possession, they got 2 shots on goal. So in less than 3, Liverpool had more than the ball more than 3 times the amount of Swansea, or just about, let's just round up, around 3 times more, and didn't, and only got 2 more shots on goal. Liverpool fouled more. They got 2 yellow cards. Swansea didn't get any. Liverpool had 9 corners. Didn't do anything with their set pieces. And lost. You can't be fucking around. You can't beat, like, you beat Man City. And then what'd you do? Just stroll into the game? Like, oh yeah, yeah, we're the guys that beat Man City last week, Swansea. So just open up, give us these goals so we can leave. And Swansea was like, nah, we at the bottom of the table. Can't be, we need these points, bruh. Sorry. We got no time for complacency. So, yeah. Swansea beating Liverpool, huge for them. It's not 3 points from a team that they could kind of beat. It's from 3 points from a team that's impossible to beat. They should get more than 3 points for this. This should be 6 points. It only counts as 3. They need it, you know. It's huge. Fucking huge. Goddamn huge. I'm going to go to where next? I'm going to go to where everybody at. I'm going to run down the tables. So, Man City leading everybody with 65 points at the top of the table. Man United, we are second, 53 points. Behind us is Chelsea, 50 points. They're third. Behind them, Liverpool. Thank God they lost. Take a little pressure off us. 47 points. They're fourth. Spurs, with their tie, they're behind Liverpool. They're fifth. They're not even in a Champions League spot. And Arsenal's right behind them. 6, 42 points. Leicester's 7th, 34 points. Big drop off. It's the top from 6 up, you know. Arsenal's way out. Yeah, Arsenal and Spurs. Yeah. Let's see what happens with Arsenal's transfers. Let's see what happens. But yeah, I'm just looking at Arsenal's chances of getting in the top 4. I'm looking at them. They're behind Spurs, Liverpool, Chelsea, and Man United. We all know they're not going to catch City. They are 11 points behind United. So it's not impossible for them to catch United, but we should be able to, even if we don't get second, we should be able to hold off Arsenal. So then my next question is, can Arsenal catch Chelsea? They're only 8 points behind Chelsea. And for some reason, I have confidence that they can catch Chelsea. Can they catch Liverpool? Liverpool is defensively unpredictable. So I don't think they can, but it's possible. It's only a 5-point gap. And as far as the Liverpool game, you know, Liverpool played Van Dijk, their new defender. And he on defense, headed a ball from across And the ball got to the Swansea player. Swansea player put it in the back of the net. So welcome to the big leagues, bro. Head up and out. I know you've been in the Premiership before, but imagine that. Your first game for Liverpool, you scored a goal. You missed the game last week. And this week, you come into the Premiership, and your clearance falls to the feet of a Swansea player. Swansea player puts it in the net, and that's the goal that wins your first Premiership game for Liverpool. The way the ball bounces is funny. So where was I? Burnley. They're number 8. They have the same amount of points as Leicester, 34. Everton's number 9. Wow. So once you start going down the table, so Burnley and Leicester are 7th and 8th, right? 9th, not even in the 30-point category. They only have 28 points. So every team after this has 20 points and below. So this is where a few games could change everything. Like a few games, once I start going on the table, a few games, like Everton is 9th. 9th in the table, they have 28 points. 9th is usually good. And 9th is usually like you're safe from the people at the bottom, but not with the inconsistencies of all the teams below them. So Everton's 9th, but right behind them, 2 points behind them is Watford. They're in 10th. Then West Ham is 11th with the same amount of points as Watford, 26. And then behind them is Bournemouth. They're in 12th. They have 25 points. So they're 1 point away from being 10th and 3 points away from tying Everton for 9th. And Crystal Palace is 13th, and they have 25 points. So they're 3 points away from being 9th next week, you know. And then Huddersfield, they're 14th. They have 24 points. So they're, you know, one win, and they could have 3 more points, and they could have been in fucking 9th place for sure. And then right behind them is Newcastle. They have 23 points and they're in 15th place. And Brighton is in 16th place. They have 23 points. And then Stoke is in 17th place. They have 23 points. And then Southampton is in the relegation zone. They have 22 points. And then West Brom has 20 points and they're 19th. And Swansea has 20 points and they're 20th. So Swansea, who's in last place, is 9 points away from being 9th. Isn't that fucking crazy? Swansea is in 20th place. They're the cellar dwellers. They're in last. They're super last. They have 20 points. But if they had just a few results go their way, a few more results go their way, whether ties or a win here and there, and those results going their way meant that they had 8 more points, they would be 9th where Everton is. That's it. 8 points. So if you're in the bottom of the basement of the Premiership right now, the relegation zone is up to 9th. Yeah. I would say the Premiership relegation zone is from 20th to 9th place. That's how close it is down there. A lot of misery, loving a lot of company. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And another thing that came to mind just about the year Salah's having. You remember when Liverpool first got Torres and how amazing and the scorched earth goal scoring spree that he went on? And then the next year he wasn't the same guy. I hope that doesn't happen to Salah. But Salah's run is reminding me of Torres' one run. But I hope it doesn't end up the same. Yeah, hope it doesn't end up the same. If you go to the Premier League, if you go to PremierLeague.com, you'll see a bunch of things, a bunch of articles that Sanchez and Man United are a match made in heaven. You'll see transfers. Mkhitaryan signs with Arsenal, signs Mkhitaryan and Sanchez swap deal. Let me see if I can read that a little bit. See if I can bad read that shit. So Arsenal have announced the signing of Henrik Mkhitaryan in a swap deal with Manchester United for Sanchez. Mkhitaryan, 29, has signed a long-term contract to become the Gunners, second January signing following Konstantinos Mavropanos. I definitely messed that up on purpose. Henrik is a very complete player, manager Arsene Wenger told Arsenal official website. He's not a complete player. A complete player would be great at defending too. Maybe he is, and he just didn't show it under Mourinho. But he's good attacking. He has abilities. He's creative, and he could tear at you. And he scored that scorpion goal. So you have the two scorpion goal scorers from last year Premiership, him and Giroud, on the same team. So I hope two scorpions can survive in the same cage. They both scored scorpion goals last year. He creates chances. He defends well. Come on, Wenger. He can absorb distances, and he's very committed as well. He's a player who has all the attributes. This is what this description sounds like to me. It's like a guy buying a stripper. Not buying a stripper, he's dating a stripper, and he's telling his friends, she's pretty, she's smart, she works hard, she's ambitious, and some of those things aren't true. One of them definitely is, but I'm going to tell you all of those things because I want you to like the fact that I'm dating this stripper. As part of the transfer, Sanchez will join Mourinho United. Both players could make their PL debuts next week when Arsenal travel to Swansea on January 30th and when Manchester United go to Spurs the next evening. And that's a huge game. Man U versus Spurs. I'm going to go to fixtures and go through the big fixtures for next week. So Arsenal's going to go up against Swansea. Yeah, give that to Arsenal. Crystal Palace at West Ham. That's one of those games where that's pretty even. Don't know how to call that. So I'm just going to leave that alone. Leave that right there. West Ham's at home. I think Crystal Palace can get a point. Liverpool, Huddersfield. I feel bad for Huddersfield because Liverpool just lost this week. They can't afford to fuck around. But, you know, is Liverpool crazy enough to let Huddersfield take some points off them? Then you know they're not serious about... Then you know they're not a threat. Chelsea versus Bournemouth. Tough game, but Chelsea should be able to handle that. Everton versus Leicester. That's pretty evenly matched. Leicester might be able to pull off something or at least get a point up at Everton. Newcastle, Burnley. I'll go Burnley. Newcastle's trying to get some stuff in the transfer window. If they do get it, can they apply it next week? Not sure. Southampton versus Brighton. Who knows? Man City versus West Brom. Who's going to win this game? I have no idea. Man City's playing the Etihad versus West Brom. I'm not sure. I'm going to take a wild blind guess. Go Man City. Stoke versus Watford. you know, Watford, you lost to Leicester. Got to get your shit together. That might be a tie. Spurs United. Huge game. We got on to Wembley. And we have to get some points out of this shit. And we have a lot of real games left. Like, we haven't played a lot of the big guys. And this is one of them. So, we have Sanchez. He should be ready to play. I don't think he'll start, but we can bring him off the bench. This time we're playing them. We have Pogba. Last time we played them, we didn't have him. I think they didn't have Kane that time. They're a little off, Spurs, so let's catch them while they're off. We just need to put the effort in on this team. Just need to effort the shit out of them. You know? So hopefully they're still off and we'll put in a great... That's just my hope. I'm not sure how this would go. Spurs could win. You know? Spurs could win. But I hope Man U does. And let me see. So that's all... And these are all mid... Let me see. What am I looking at? Those games are on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. So what happens? There's FA Cup games, I think, this weekend. Let me see. Let me just check for a second. All right, so this weekend, those games that I just told you about, the Premier League games, those are for Tuesday and Wednesday. But this weekend, it's all FA Cup. So on Friday, man, you'll be playing Yeovil Town. I'll just pick out some games. Chelsea will be playing Newcastle. Man City will be playing Cardiff. Liverpool will be playing West Brom on Saturday. What else we got? So, this weekend, no Premiership, but there'll be FA Cup games. So, it's a ton of them. It's the fourth round. And some teams are going to be slitting some other teams' throats and cutting them out the race and dropping them to the wayside and stepping into the next round. So that's what this weekend is about. Games on Friday, Saturday, and we got two on Sunday. Two on Sunday is Chelsea versus Newcastle, Cardiff versus Man City. So that's what this weekend's about. So, all right, y'all. That's pretty much the end of the podcast for tonight. To motherfucking night. Thank y'all for listening. Subscribe on SoundCloud to the podcast or on iTunes. You can still leave reviews. I hope everybody out there who won prizes for the contest, hope you get them. Let me know you got them. And post some photos. Tag me in them. Of you wearing the stuff. And also on the Volley Apparel. Also. And what else? How do I want to round this out? Get at me on Instagram. At Ian Edwards Comic. Also the same for Twitter. Go to my website. IanEdwardsComedian.com. Look for my up and coming dates. Even though I'm going to be in town for a minute. But also, go to the website. My album is there. It's called 100% Half-Assed. It was produced by Conan. So you could purchase that if you want to listen to it on Spotify. You know? So you could do that. And love y'all. Thank you for listening every week. I really appreciate it. And it's fun doing the podcast. And yeah, that's it for the night. You know, enjoy the week of football.